chapter 3. I appreciate the invitation to be here this week. When I first saw the meeting being mentioned on Facebook, I said, man, I would love to get down there to go to that meeting. And then the Lord worked it out for us to be here and be a part of it. And I really appreciate that a whole lot. We've been going in our church. I don't know if I mentioned this last night or not. I've been wanting to do it for 2 or 3 years, and the Lord just never gave me liberty to do it until towards the end of last year. I wanted to preach on, and almost every church that I know of has this. Most people in the churches don't know that the church has this, and much less what it says. But I've been preaching on our church covenant. And a lot of things that I've been wanting to preach on in 6 years of being a pastor are being taken care of just preaching through that church covenant. Because in that church covenant, there's a lot in there on holy living. Amen. And let's just face it, the world has influenced the church more than the church has influenced the world.
Yes, say it again.
That's right. Yes, it has.
The world has infiltrated the church. Mm-hmm. The church today is not looked up to. It is not. Things in the world are not patterned after what's going on in the church. It is the exact opposite. And churches and preachers have adopted worldly methods. And we were talking about invitations and things like that. I hardly ever give an invitation in our church. I'm not a high-pressure salesman. I don't believe in reverse psychology. I don't believe in high pressure tactics. If God can't get somebody to the altar, amen, and deal with their heart, then nothing I do or say is going to produce any long lasting changes. And I would rather, amen, listen, a trip to the altar does not indicate a change. Fast forward 6 months after a decision has been made, and then we'll find out if anything really happened at the altar. I would rather see a life change. I would rather see maturity and growth, amen, than fake tears after an emotional plea at an altar. Now, that's not popular today. I'll be honest with you, I'm not against altar calls, but I do not find them in the New Testament.
Right. Right.
I just don't see it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing if we have one. I'm just saying we're not mandated by Scripture to have one.
Right.
Of course, if you're a big time famous evangelist who promotes yourself on social media, it doesn't help your schedule to say, well, nobody showed up at the altar tonight. And so we have to have warm and full altars, like the guy we were talking about today. Warm and full altars. To which I usually reply, cold and dry. Amen. Cold and dry altars. But what has happened is that worldliness has so affected people in our churches, and listen, if you guys believe something differently than what I'm about to say, then you just believe what you want to believe, okay? But I just believe. Listen, can I just? You might be looking forward to a lot of things. But if you're looking forward to a national revival in America, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your breath. I didn't say a person can't have revival.
Right.
I didn't say, amen, Black Creek Baptist Church couldn't have revival.
Right,
mm-hmm. I believe that God could spark a little revival even in an area. But there is not going to be any national revival in America. We say, how do you believe that? We are in Laodicea.
Right.
Philadelphia had the revivals. We have pedophiles and sodomites running our country.
Right.
We're killing babies through abortion. Tell me about this national revival that's coming. Okay, it's just simply not going to happen. But I'm just telling you one of the reasons, I believe that the reason we're in a mess in the United States of America is not because of Washington, D.C. It is not because of Hollywood. It is not because, amen, because of the sodomite crowd and the transgender crowd. I believe the reason that we're in a mess in America is because God's people quit acting and living like God's people.
That's right, brother.
That's right.
And in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, we have a very, very familiar story about the three Hebrew children that got thrown into a fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow to the king's statue. And I want to, for sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because we're going to hit quite a few verses as we look down through here on this thought. But in Daniel chapter 3, look at verse number 4, the Bible says this: "Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down,'" and by the way, during COVID, a lot of churches fell down and worshiped the statue.
Yeah, I
just thought I'd throw that out there. That's free. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Father, please help me tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the good two nights we've had together and Brother Gibson being here. And I pray, Lord, that they've had a good, safe day of travel. And Lord, bless the preaching tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to put way more stock in titles than I do now. But if you were to title this, it would just be simply this: right is right.
Amen. Yeah.
Right is right. Number one, for the child of God, choosing right should not be something we hesitate on.
Uh-oh.
It shouldn't be something we think about. Oh, wait, hold on. I don't think about it. I pray about it. We're so spiritual. You want to know why a lot of people do wrong? Because they prayed about it. And they felt liberty from God to disobey God because they prayed. God gets blamed for a lot of things he didn't have anything to do with. And I'll even go so far as to say the devil gets blamed for a lot of things that he didn't have anything to do with. Verse number 16, look what it says there in verse number 16. They didn't bow. They get called out. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." They were faced with a choice, but it really was not a choice at all for them to do right.
That's good, brother.
You do not have to think about doing right. You do not have to pray about doing right.
Amen. Yeah.
And yet people will be, like the preaching you get in this church week after week after week, the preaching that you support other meetings for and go, and straight gun barrel preaching on how people are supposed to live, and people will walk out the back door going, I got to think about that.
Right.
You do not have to think about doing right.
That's right.
Do you know what you doing when you're saying you're going to think about doing right? You are buying time to figure out how you can justify not doing what's right. Well, you know, if I could just ward off conviction for a little while, I won't have to worry about it. When it comes to living the Word of God, you don't got to think about it. You got to pray. You ain't got to pray about it. Here's another one us Baptists are good for. Well, I haven't been convicted about it yet. Where this book is clear, we've already been convicted. Convicted is not a feeling. We got, amen, Brother Dale, Brother Gibson, they've been convicted. Ask them how they felt about it at the time. Convicted is not a feeling, amen. Convicted is a fact, amen. And when the Bible says thou shalt, it's not hard. When the Bible says thou shalt, that means you do it. When the Bible says thou shalt not, that means you don't do it. It don't matter how you feel about it. It don't matter if you're convicted about it. Either you're an obedient child of God or you're a disobedient child of God.
Right.
Either you're pleasing God or you're a rebel. It doesn't matter, amen, how you feel about it.
That's right.
Amen. Then we see here, secondly, that their confidence was in God.
Yeah.
Look at verse number 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. I like that. I like them three words there, verse number 18, or verse number 17, if it be.
Yeah.
They were not worried about the outcome. All they were concerned about was obedience to God.
Yeah, good point.
And listen, their confidence was in God, their allegiance was to God, and their desire was to obey and please God. It did not matter, amen, what decree had been signed. It did not. Listen, the whole book of Daniel has to do with God's people doing what's right. Chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Chapter 5, you've got Daniel who would refuse to bow to the pressure of not making any petition except of the king, and he ended up in the lion's den, and God delivered him from there. And these three young men says, hey, one way or the other, King, God will deliver us. He's either going to deliver us in the furnace, he's going to deliver us through the furnace, he's going to deliver us from the furnace, but he will deliver us.
Amen.
Why can't we just take a stand for what's right and let God sort all of it out?
Yeah.
Let God sort the chip, let the chip fall where they may, but we're going to please God.
Amen.
And let me say this next. We do right regardless of the outcome. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what? They were going to obey God no matter what.
Yeah, amen.
They didn't say, Lord, if you get us out of this, we won't bow. No, they determined ahead of time they weren't going to bow.
Yeah, come on.
And people today, they will say, well, here's the average mentality about serving God. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Well, blessings of God, gold, silver, precious stones, a good judgment seat. Amen, amen, amen. We do not do right to get blessed. We do right because it's right.
Right.
None.
We do right because it's right to do.
Yeah.
Old Bob Jones Sr., do right if the stars fall, but do right.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. They had determined that they were going to do right no matter what. Amen. And today we have, now I'm dating myself, you younger people ain't got a clue who I'm going to say when I mention this name. They want to play Monty Hall. They want to play Let's Make a Deal with God. God, if you do this, I'll do this.
Right.
Lord, if you'll fix this, I'll do this.
Amen.
Lord, if you take care of this, I'll do it. It doesn't matter what God's going to do. Amen. Do right because it's right to do. Do right because God will bless you for doing what's right. But that's not why. We do right because we love God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care what people say. We got people in our churches that claim to love God, but their lifestyle dictates they love themselves more than they love God. They love themselves more than they love God. So what do you do? Well, just simply take a stand for what's right. He said there in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now listen, can I just encourage you in the midst of just taking a stand for what's right? You don't have to be a jerk about it.
Right.
Too many people, they take the right stand, but they got the wrong attitude. They take the right stand, but they have the wrong spirit with the whole thing. They stand for what's right, amen, but they got the wrong attitude. They got the wrong, they're cocky about it. And you say, well, bless God, pray for me. I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You might be being persecuted for being an idiot. Matter of fact, if you weren't an idiot, you might not be persecuted at all. I know a guy not far from here. I mean, not far from here. He got fired from 3 or 4 jobs for witnessing on the job. Not because he was witnessing on the job, but because he was an idiot about it. He was a pharmacist, and he would have to fill prescriptions for like antidepressants. And so people would come up and he would give them their prescription for being for antidepression, and he would say, "You don't need this. You know, if you just had God, you wouldn't need this." He got fired. Shocker. And he came to me and he said, "I don't understand." He says, "I don't understand why I got fired." I said, "Guess what? If I was the owner of that pharmacy, I'd fire you too." I go, "They're not paying you to witness." I said, "You know how much harm you could do to somebody if they quit taking something that the doctor just bluntly said you have to take this, and then they quit just cold turkey?" I said, "You could have multi-million dollar lawsuits on your hands." But he's to this day, he's convinced that he's being persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Amen.
No, you're a dumbhead. But don't take a stand, but be smart. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Amen.
But let me just say this, but you don't have to be a closet Christian either. The Bible word is balance. Balance. You want to know, you want to avoid being tempted so much to do wrong? Have a public testimony of doing what's right. Bible says, let your moderation be known.
Yeah.
Amen. If you got a public testimony of living for God, amen, it's not a guarantee, but it will weed out most of the losers that'll try to lead you the wrong way.
Right.
And I'm not talking about being pious or super spiritual.
Right.
But when you have to take a stand. Then let me give you another thought here. And this comes as a shock to a lot of Christians nowadays. And I don't know why it's a shock to a lot of Christians nowadays, but guess what? Not everybody will be happy with your choice to do right.
Come on.
Look in verse number 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Listen, not everybody will be pleased with your decision to do right and live for God.
Right.
You will have family that doesn't understand. You may even have Christian family that doesn't understand. You will have friends that don't understand. You will have coworkers that don't understand. Hey, guess what? Cheer up. You might even have people in the church that don't understand. And here we have, this was the king that didn't like it, but they did not back down. They did not do what most people do today. They did not cave.
Right, amen.
I'm just being honest with you. I am so sick and tired of all of these independent Baptists get excited about quote unquote Christian athletes.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, you'll have some of these famous athletes that they will take a stand for what's right. I mean, they'll take a good stand until it hits the endorsements. And then 99% of them have to issue the required, expected insensitivity apology. I am sorry for my insensitive remarks and how people... Well, don't you know Hulk Hogan got saved?
Come on.
Don't you know the guy that won the Masters in Augusta on Sunday? He's a Christian. He might be, but he wasn't in church on Sunday. Of course, winning a $3.5 million purse probably helped a little bit with that decision. Not everybody's going to like it, but you do what's right. It don't matter.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, and guess what? Look at verse number 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. There might be a price to pay for doing what's right.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
Matter of fact, just so you don't get shocked, plan on paying a price, and if you don't, shout the victory for it.
Yeah,
but just assume that there will be a price to pay.
Come on, brother.
Not always is there a price to pay, but sometimes there's a price to pay for doing right, what's right. And the question is, if there is a price to pay, are you willing to pay it? Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to follow it out? Hey, listen, what are you going to do when doing right may cost you a friendship? It may cost you a reputation. It may cost you a job. And hey, guess what? If the Lord don't come back, it's going to cost us our freedom here in America. You see all that insane bills they're passing in Canada? It's coming to America, and they're trying little pockets all over the country trying to establish anti-hate speech. Do you know that this book is hate speech?
Right. Come on.
In the country of Canada, it is illegal for a pastor in his own church to preach against the sodomites.
Come on.
It's illegal. I got some good brothers up there in Canada, and I've preached in Canada for 35 years, and I thank God for some men who are smart. You say, well, what do they do? Do they preach against that stuff? Yeah, they still do, but they just don't live stream.
There you go.
It's not a sin if you don't live stream. I mean, I know today everybody, it's expected, you know. We got a dear lady in our church, and she follows me all over the country. And, you know, is it going to be on live stream? Is it going to be on live stream? And a lot of times it is, you know. And every once in a while I say, no, they don't have live stream. And it's a shock to some people that there are people. You mean there's actually churches that don't live stream? in this modern day of technology, it might be a wise thing. Might be a wise thing. I know some churches that quit live streaming because people never came back after COVID. You want to hear the preaching? Come to church.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a reality.
Look at verse number 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Can I say this? God always blesses for doing what's right. God did not deliver them from the fire, but he did deliver them in the fire.
Come on.
We think that because they still got thrown in, that God didn't deliver them. No, he may deliver you in the fire.
That's good. Come on.
Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7 says, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Hebrews said that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Now, we don't do it to get blessed, but I promise you, God will bless you for doing what's right.
Amen.
Here's a question, though. Here's a question. If you knew ahead of time that the only blessing you were going to get from doing what's right was at the judgment seat and it would not be in this lifetime, would you still do what was wrong? What if God said, "Oh, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you real good. It's going to be at the judgment seat." Our flesh don't want to wait for that. Amen. I mean, we want to, "Bless God, I took a stand. I prayed for my food in McDonald's. God, where's the blessings?" I mean, ain't he supposed to load it on me right now? What, for praying over your food at McDonald's? I mean, God forbid if you had to make a really hard decision to make a stand.
Amen.
He always blesses for doing what's right. And we see here that their choice to do what's right was a testimony to those around them. Look at verse number 27. "And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on." Their doing right made an impression on people around them. Can I just tell you that your doing what's right is going to be either a good witness for God or a bad witness for God? If you don't do right. How you live your life tells people what you think about God. How you live your life tells people how much you love God. We got a young man in our church. I don't mind telling a story, even though I know we're live streaming. Brother Maury's met him. Just got out of prison, county jail about a month ago. Was in there for 9 months, looking at 20 plus years, multiple felonies, because he beat the fire out of his elderly dad. I'm talking, put him in the hospital, billy club, pistol whipped him, kidnapped him to do it. Spends 9 months in jail after, he was looking at 20 years. And God got him out in 9 months. That was a month ago. He's been to church one time in the last month. I said, I thought you told me, I told him on the phone last week, I said, "I thought you told me you were going to come to church." He goes, "Well, I didn't say I'm going to come every week." He says, I might come this week, he says, "and I'm also thinking about checking out some other churches." I said, "You didn't hear the gospel at another church. Nobody from any other church has been praying for you for the last 9 months. How many people in the last 9 months from another church emailed you while you was in jail?"
Yeah, come on.
I said, you know what you're fixing to do? I said, you're fixing to reap the benefits of sowing a life without putting God first. I said, you're looking at 20 years of prison and God gives you 9 months and you're going to treat God that way?
Yeah, come on.
You don't have to tell me you don't love God. Your life proves it.
Amen. Come on.
You don't have to tell me you don't love the church. Your life proves it.
Right.
How you live your life tells a whole world what you think about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of testimony do you have with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the community? And can I say this? Nobody can bless you like God can bless you.
Right. Hallelujah.
Look at verse number 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Can I just tell you, nobody will take care of you like God will take care of you?
Amen.
Now, can you imagine? Okay, now picture you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you take a stand, and literally God jumps in the fire with you, and you get delivered, and you don't smell like smoke. No, I mean, nothing hurt you, nothing touched you. And the Lord comes up to you and says, okay, you just tell me how you want me to get back at those people. Do you know that no matter how wild of an idea we could come up with, God could say, really, is that it? I can do better than that. And God says, look, anybody does anything against the God of Israel, we're gonna cut them in pieces. God has a way of taking care of things a whole lot better than how we can take care of them. We mess things up when we take care of it. And then let me give you this last thought here in verse number 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You all know what? You do right. God will promote you in his time and in his way. Don't dictate to God what the blessing's supposed to be. Don't tell God how he's supposed to promote you. Just do what's right. God will take care of all of the rest. But do what's right. People say, well, I wish God would tell me what he expects. In black and white, he does. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's pretty clear.
Amen.
He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I said it the other day in our church. I can't remember if I said it here. Doing right and living for God is not hard, but living two lives is hard.
Amen.
It's not hard to live for God. It's hard to live two lives.
Right.
And in Laodicea, people want to plant one foot in the church and one foot in the world and expect God to be okay with that. Part of the covenant that I preached on this last Sunday was the part about abstaining from alcohol and tobacco and drugs and all that kind of stuff. I said, here's the mindset today. First of all, we know all that stuff is against the Word of God.
Right.
I heard a Baptist preacher tell somebody that smoking cigarettes was not a sin. He said it's a bad testimony, but it's not wrong. I'm talking independent, Brother Maury, King James, Baptist preacher. I said, here's a mentality in Laodicea. So we know all those things, number one, are against God, but we know that the devil has destroyed millions of lives with all of that.
Right.
Right? The devil has destroyed families. He has destroyed homes. He has destroyed marriages. He has destroyed careers. He has destroyed children over liquor, drugs. Amen. And I don't give a flip what state legalizes it. Add marijuana to that list.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
God, the devil's destroyed I've told millions of people with that stuff. And here's the modern day Laodicean. Is it okay if I smoke dope? Can I drink liquor and be okay? Do everybody around you a favor. Run headfirst into a brick wall and try to knock some sense into yourself. Because you ain't got none.
Right. Amen.
The devil promotes it, God's against it, and the Christian says, I don't know what I should do. Right is right.
Right, brother.
It don't matter how you feel about it.
Right.
Well, you should understand, Brother Craig, I've thought about it, and I feel, I don't care what you feel. If you want to disagree with me, disagree with me. But don't come to me with your feelings, come to me with Scripture. I will talk all day long if you want to give me Bible. But if you just want to say, I feel, then we're not talking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you and I feel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. I'm a preacher, and there's still days my flesh doesn't feel like doing right.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my flesh never feels like doing right. My flesh leads me in the wrong direction 100% of the time. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So it doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is what thus saith the Lord. That is the only thing that matters. What does God say? You and I better live a life that matches up to this book.
Amen.
And what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Father, I pray, Lord, that you take something that was said to be a help. I pray that you be with Brother Zach as he preaches. Fill him with your Spirit and your power. Give him the message we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.